We'll call the Great River Regional Library Board meeting to order. It is, what, 6 o'clock? I'll need adoption of the amendment and agenda.
So moved.
Got a motion? I need a second. Mary? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The approval of the minutes from July 17th is on page 3 through 7 in your packet.
Got motion.
You got Mary to make a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Lisa's second. Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Public open forum, nothing? Okay. Financial, motion to pay the bills.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Motion from Ed, second?
Second.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, why did we get a bill, revised bills for September 13th through the 18th? Don't we just go with the end with September 12th, like the one you sent out?
That's the addendum.
This is the addendum.
Okay. So you're adding two. I mean, the last one quit on September 12th, so this goes to September 18th then?
Yep. I do it every.
That would be this one right here that we're all, it's on your desk.
That's my question.
Mary?
Why do you do it every other month? Is it just a timing thing or what?
We do it every other month because that's when the board meets.
On the other months, the board just gets the regular bills. On the regular meeting months, you get the regular bills with your packet, but we also have a window of opportunity to approve additional bills in that time frame, so let's see. So the time frame is different.
It's a timing thing.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Finance report. That was emailed. I need a motion.
I so move.
I got a motion from Jim, second.
I'll second.
Second from Mary. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Consent agenda. We can do all these on one if you like, or we can do them individually if you have any questions. Let you guys decide.
I'll move approval of items 6.1 through 6.4.
Thank you. I have a set. Do I need a second?
I'll second.
Mary, second. Any more discussions or questions on 6.1 through 6.5? Lee?
6.4. She cited 6.4.
6.4. There's no, I think
catch.
There is an other.
You just
you
say
thought I was dozing.
Right? Yeah, I thought you were voting.
Yeah. Ahead of time.
All right, 6.1 to 6.4. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So we have no other items. Communications. Arts and Culture Heritage Fund Progress Report. This is not an action item, but it's on page 29 in your packet.
This is the mid-year report for the latest round of funding. You can also see within the consent agenda the final end of the year report for fiscal year 17. I bring attention to this because we are entering a new legislative session too. Our legacy funding is not a guaranteed thing. It needs to be reappropriated each biennium. So you can see some of the things that are being done around the region through legacy in this report. And I thought it would be helpful for you to know that so that you could advocate for the funding in your community with your legislators.
I added just on that one where it says Magic Bob, trying to figure out who that gentleman looks like. It's kind of like Lee a little bit. Maybe a more gray or mustache would be okay. Huh? But yeah, there's a lot of good information on those pages. So anything else on that one? Okay, moving on. We'll move to other. Anything else?
No presentations.
I said, oh, okay. Presentations? No presentations.
No.
Okay. Staff reports, page 39, executive director's report. And if you don't mind, we have somebody else here that maybe wants to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about them. What do you think?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, I'm
yourself on.
I think it's on. Okay. Hi, I'm Brianne Johnson. This is my first time at one of our board meetings. I am the new Communications and Development Coordinator, so this is my second month. And what Communications and Development is now the old PR. I don't know if there's anything else I need to mention.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I have a lot of background within nonprofits and fundraising, so I'm very excited within my position to begin our fundraising plan and to be on the fund development committee. So I'm looking forward to moving and developing planned giving and different corporate opportunities and sponsorships as well for our libraries. Again, I have a lot of experience within fundraising. I find it very exciting, and I think that's all.
Yeah, I want to fire another question at you. We know you want to be here in the library, but do you have anything else outside the library you like doing? Fishing, hunting?
Yes, I like fishing and hunting. I really enjoy ice fishing and just got a fish house, so I'm very excited to spend most weekends out on the lake.
And I was just a lucky guest.
You thought you were going to throw it.
All right. Well, again, welcome aboard. Okay. Now we can go on to Karen's executive report.
All right. Lots of things going on even since we wrote the report last week. 10th anniversary is coming up on Thursday. If you're in town, please come and celebrate with us and the rest of the public the 10th anniversary of the St. Cloud Library. The new desk out front is finished. You may have heard about that project in the past. It's a really nice addition to have two desks now so that it's easier to see into the lobby. It gives staff a little more flexibility in how they work with patrons. And the remodel on the old desk was just completed yesterday, so they're still trying to figure out how best to use the two desks and where the express checkouts should really land. But check that out if you get time tonight. Fines forgiveness started on Saturday. We have seen a great update, at least on Saturday, with the amount of activity. I only have reports for the first 2 days of the week, but grand total waived since Saturday across the region was $13,168.
Wow. Holy cow.
I am ashamed to say that the oldest fine waived came from 1995 and was $3, so I'm really glad that that person did come back. there were over 1,100 people that came in to get fines waived on Saturday and Monday. So we're getting a very good response. A large number of those people now have renewed their cards. A good chunk of those people had fines from 2010 or older. So thank you for making this effort. We're getting a lot of good press from it and a lot of positive energy coming into the library as a result. Thank you.
If I may, Karen, how many dollars of fines do we have on the books?
That's a good Aaron question. Do you remember that number? How many fines do we have?
I love it.
Did we book?
Well, it says you had 13,000.
Millions.
Millions of
okay. Do you mean how
billions.
Much did we budget?
No
how much outstanding.
Do
you remember that?
Overall, I believe the last time I looked at it was at the audit. I think it was right around 2.6 million. In aggregate. That's in total.
One of our next steps will be looking at getting some of this old debt off the books completely.
Yeah.
This was a good first step to get people back in the door. But I don't think when we first started collecting information in a computer system, anybody really thought about long term, how long do we really need to hang on to these dollars that are truly not collectible anymore.
Well, we don't age those dollars or prorate them over a period of time, write them off.
Currently, no. Our auditors, for some reason, never recommended that we do that.
We're looking at it, though.
I find that surprising because most entities, whether it's co-ops or anything else, after so long, their auditors recommend that you write a percentage off all the time.
They're even telling counties to do that.
Yeah.
I can tell you that, I believe it was two audits ago, we started actually booking what is collectible. So basically, they're saying you can only collect X amount. So, but the reports that come out of our Horizon system say that there's $2.7 million out there.
So it's time to clean it up.
Yeah, I agree.
And the question I have, Karen, and I know we discussed this before, if I owe money and I come in and get a book, what happens on my fine?
The staff will ask you to pay for the fine. Unless it's this week, they'll just waive it.
Okay, so let's... All right, no, wait, but let's say prior to that, what happens if I owe like a dollar, $1.50?
Right now, our policy says if you owe one penny, we will ask to collect that penny before you're allowed to check out. We changed that threshold, I think, back in 2012. It was $6 at one point in time. And that is one of the reasons we have so much old debt on the books, is people were allowed to continue to check out with fines on the books. That being said, I do think we may need to revisit that policy at some point in time and increase the threshold to a smaller dollar amount, because our new credit card software, for example, won't allow a patron to pay less than a dollar. Our overdrive collection isn't really driven by fines and fees, so it may not make sense to say you have to have your fines paid to zero in order to check out an ebook. So we're looking at some adjustments, like our self-checkout machines. You can actually use those if you have a fine under a dollar. It doesn't flag you to pay it until it's over a dollar. So we'll be looking at that as an additional next step in the future.
And I'll throw this one out there. We discussed this one. If I'm online and I want to order a book, what happens if I owe, before forgiveness, if I owe like $2 or $3?
It may not allow you to place the hold. So
can they pay that before they place the hold on
it? They could pay it online with a credit card. They could. So it is limiting the amount of access for people, even for the ones that intend to pay the next time they show up. It's a tricky balance. I mean, on the flip side, if they find out they have a fine when they show up at the library, they may not want to pick up their holds. Right. So we'll see. We have a work group working on borrowers. Really? Sorry.
That usually meant he wants you to wrap it
okay.
up.
Okay. Yeah.
Back in the old days.
He's have additional questions about fines. We're happy to talk through them, but it's a complicated.
I'm a money guy. You know? Yeah. I'm like Lee. He says, you spend money, Lee. I'm kind of. excuse me.
The horse is dead. You know, I mean, geez. You get a 2-year-old library fine, you go, pfft.
Well, and one of the problems we have right now, because there's so much old debt, we only send a paper bill to people who have $12.50 or more. And we've been slowly dropping that threshold. But what happens when we do that is it catches all the old accounts. So the guy from 1995, should our threshold be $3, would have gotten a bill from 1995 for $3. And the further we drop that amount, the angrier people have become. And there's kind of a losing situation there also with postage. I mean, you're not going to collect a 10-year-old debt.
No. And so I think it's a good idea that we have this discussion because, again, you can't have over $2 million in debt.
How often do we bill?
We bill whenever an item is 45 days or more overdue or if an account reaches $12.50 or more.
How often, though?
They get one bill.
One bill.
If it's over $25, they do go through the collections process, which means they get that one bill, which says we might send you to collections, and then they do get sent to collections, so then they get a phone call and a letter and a letter. If it's over like $250 or more, if they still have materials out especially, we will send them through the revenue recapture process after they've been through a full collection cycle. I mean, we do get accounts that end up in the $2,000 range because people come, check out a whole pile of stuff, and never bring them back. So there's another side to it, but the majority of patrons want to use the library appropriately.
And I personally, then we can move on, is I think that we should have the staff look into that and give us the board some options to make it more feasible.
That's one option.
Mary.
Plus the ability to charge off some of that old uncollectible debt. I mean, that's ridiculous, I think, to carry that around on our backs.
The tasers? Yeah. Just practice.
All right, Karen, move on. Just let them.
All right. The St. Cloud lease, we met with the city on the 7th. We reviewed some of their questions about our proposal, which we sent in May. We were scheduled to meet last Friday and receive their counter proposal. The meeting's been rescheduled. We still don't have a counter proposal. Two additional outstanding issues that we talked about are the 2017 lease payment for this building. We still are not in 100% agreement with what our final bill was in relation to the boiler project, so we're still working through those issues. Also, the automated materials handling system, the book drop, the tunnel that goes under the building for return materials, the contract for that system expired at the end of July, and the city notified us a couple of weeks ago that they do not intend to renew it because they don't have the finances to do so following the boiler and the fire situations. We're still working with them on that issue. That being said, there is a tear developing in the belt, which could result in a fix outside of the maintenance agreement since we don't have one. So it's still developing. We'll keep you informed if you have questions about that.
We have not paid any bills, though, to them either, have we?
We are outstanding on our 2017 lease payment because of the issues around the boiler payment.
And what is that dollar amount?
$100,000. In the Finance Committee report with the projections, it was included as a paid item by the end of the year, right. So we'll see.
$108,000.
That's what they billed us.
Correct. But that's not what we think is correct.
Mary.
So how far apart are we?
About $4,000, right?
Yes.
On that 108?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Remember, we also cut them a $20,000 check separately last year for the boiler project. So some of the bills that we're still questioning include something around the recommissioning, which I need to reach out to Stephen Lawrence to get more clarity on what was sent over. We just got a copy of those invoices yesterday from the city. We've been asking for that since March. So it's been a very slow moving conversation.
What would be some of our options if we can't agree with a lease to them?
We could move. We could not pay and see what happens.
Clearly, do nothing is an option, and my personal suggestion is shut up and wait for them to come to us, because, you know, it's stupid to keep begging.
Yeah.
You could tell them, Mr. Chairman, that we're opening a Costco location.
Yeah,
a bunch of hoops.
Tell them we're buying tech.
But legally, they can't charge us like late fees or interest on that, could they?
They did mention setting us to collections facetiously in our last lease discussion. But up until that point, they hadn't provided the invoices. So we are working with our legal counsel on the negotiation as well.
So are we having a legal counsel bill, too, for this?
Yeah.
So we could put that on top of them to build a city just because they're not paying.
Maybe.
Be cheaper to pay the $4,000, probably.
Mm-hmm. It would solve one of three issues. I mean, the lease is an outstanding issue. We've been working on that since 2015. The AMHS, I'm the most concerned about, because if we can't come to resolution on that,
AMHS stands for?
Automated Materials Handling System.
The belt.
The belt. And the tunnel. Wally. Wally.
You said Wally.
Wally. If that breaks, we may have to fix it, or the public won't be able to return their books.
And cost to fix that, there's probably even a hard time getting parts, right?
If it's a tear in a belt, you could
the last patch on the belt costs $7,000.
Much?
$7,000. And one of the things that we're not clear about is the current maintenance contract includes the software licensing to run the machine. So without an existing maintenance contract, I'm not sure how long they will continue to allow us to run the software to keep the machine running. And a reminder, it continues to live on the city's asset list. All of the documents around the purchase of the machine, the bid for the machine, were done by the city of St. Cloud. They would love for us to take that over as part of the lease.
Right.
It is something that we would be open to, but it would also mean we would also want them to take over full responsibility for the building
right.
and its maintenance, and no longer charges for parking and a number of other things. So so while it's something we're amenable to and was actually part of our original proposal, they aren't moving that conversation forward fast enough to resolve a developing issue on the machine.
So Mr. Chair, not that I want to make this any more cumbersome, but have you ever brought a board member in on these discussions, a board chair?
We have Lee and I talked offline before the meeting. Dave and Ed and I were emailing. Prior to actually sending the proposal over, I did talk to the two of them before it went over. So
okay.
we have board members who are assigned to the discussions. The challenge is just getting the city to the table at all.
This isn't a big deal with them. It's, you know, their priority on this
right.
is not the same as it is with us.
Mm-hmm.
So until they're willing, until they land, so to speak, until they want to talk, we'll just wait and then talk.
I think the belt is the, Wally is the most urgent issue, it seems. The rest I could see us not pushing.
And it might limp along for a while.
Yeah.
You know, part of the proposal was potentially decommissioning the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the heating plan is for the tunnel if we don't decommission it in the next 6 months, which clearly we aren't at this point. So one more reason to reach out to Public Works to at least to know where they're at with their understanding of the heating systems in this building and that tunnel. Very slow moving conversation.
I'm sure you'd be open to other suggestions later.
Oh, yeah, so. I'd be happy to talk more offline about it. I think part of it is difficult to talk publicly
right.
about some of the stuff because in the end, we do want to be good partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then union negotiations started on Monday with both units. We met, we talked about their proposal, and we'll be meeting with them to give them our proposal on October 29th.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right, thank you, Kim. Management reports, page 41.
Anyone has any questions about things in there? I think we covered some of the topics separately.
Mr. Chair, under Ryan's report, he talks about summer lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And the lunches were free for the kids. Who ended up paying for those lunches?
That's the YES Network. It's actually a partnership through the state. State Library Services is the facilitator, but I believe the dollars for the program partially come from the USDA food program,
mm-hmm.
similar to school lunches. And then the YES Network is the nonprofit agency locally that actually cooks and delivers the lunches.
So it's not a library expense?
Our expense is the time involved
mm-hmm.
and the space.
And also in his report talks about new library card designs.
Yes, I don't have
them to show us tonight or?
I was looking for one to show you all, but I have to wait. They just showed up in the building. So they are coming out. We are gonna start releasing them next week because with fines forgiveness, we thought it would just complicate the issue. Do you have to pay for a card? Do you not have to pay for a card? There were four winning designs. Two of them came out of Elk River, one from Delano. I can't remember the fourth, but they were all patron designed. Two were designed by children, and two were designed by adults. So we'll have them at the next meeting for sure.
Then I got a question for Julie. You, when Big Lake and Becker merged, since they were under two different IRUPs, one left, lost their responsibility. What happened with Howard Lake and Cocado? Were they both under the same supervisor?
So the Library Service Coordinator in Howard Lake retired. So that position, then the combined branch went to the existing Library Service Coordinator in Cocado.
Who does the existing reporter report to then?
Brandy
Cantor.
Okay. And that was both those reported to Randy before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for management reports? Building report. Page 47.
That's all the news that was fit to print.
Pretty much so.
Yeah.
Okay. Second quarter stats, page 49.
These weren't ready at the last board meeting, so we threw them in so you could see how each database is performing in relation to last year.
Any questions on that at all? Anybody? Okay, 9.5, summer reading program.
We saw a pretty good bump in a lot of branches, and one of the big changes was the number of returned coupons, especially in places like Monticello. They changed how they were awarding prizes. There was a lot of local support there, and so it helped improve the level of participation in those libraries.
Any more questions about that? Not, we'll move on. Anything else? Committee reports, Finance Committee. This will be an action item. I believe we'll leave that up to Lisa.
Mr. Chair and members, the Finance Committee met at 5 o'clock today, and I believe you all received the packet, so I'll just run through the things that we covered. The Great River Regional Library 2018 budget projections were on your table. We're looking at approximately a $569,932 surplus this year. We approved the software request to implement and license NeoGov for human resources. The undesignated fund development revenue allocation, we approved a change in that. It used to be 60% collection, 20% fundraising, 20% marketing. We'll be going to a 55%, 25%, 20%. And we reviewed the Great River Regional Library signatory agreement and found no need to change anything. It has last been it was last revised in August of 2015. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you. I need a motion and a second, please.
So move for the motion.
I have a motion from Mike. Second?
Second it.
Second from Eddie. Any more discussion on that? Mary?
Question. On the fund development matter, changing those allocations, I have no problem with that. But just out of curiosity, what is the range of the best of the charities that are investing the least or the smallest percentage in their efforts?
So
20% sounds high.
What Better Business Bureau recommends within their accounting credibility is to have at least 65% of its total expenses going towards programming. And so for us, in our previous, that would be the collection development. And also to spend no more than 35% on fundraising. So how our standards were before were not complementary to Better Business Bureau and those accountability. So by implementing the current with only 20% going towards communications, as opposed to before with both fundraising and marketing, that will look much better for accountability purposes and transparency with the public.
Is the Better Business Bureau kind of the watchdog for nonprofits or public entities?
Yes. So many.
As opposed to, like, the state, forget Secretary of State or whoever it is, there's some information available there for 501c3s, I suppose, huh?
I don't currently have any information on the Secretary of State.
Well, I don't know if that's the correct division or not, but.
Many look towards Better Business Bureau, Charity Navigator, a few organizations like that that specifically go into accrediting nonprofit organizations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? If not, I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Lisa, for that report. Personnel committee, looks like Mike will be, or Mike, Jim will be doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The meeting met at 5, group met at 5:30. Wayne, our chair, was unavailable to be there, so Randy ran the meeting. Two major items we talked about was the aid position pay grade change. We went from category 5 to category 6, which increased the starting salary for librarian aides, distribution aides, by 41 cents. So it went from $9.74 to $10.15, and this is based on the consultant we had with regard to evaluations on pay scales.
All right, this is an action item. I'll need a motion.
Can I just report the other one, too? Okay, thank you. We also talked about, we had a new item today that was listed with regard to Library Services and Technology Grant, ACT grant, provided additional funds for a bilingual library cultural navigator. Job description, we want you to approve so we can have that position available when the money comes through on the grant. That is my report, and I so move both items.
Thank you. I'll need a second.
Second.
And a second from Mike. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried. Library Safety and Security Committee, please.
I didn't bring my notes, so I forgot I'm at home, so I apologize.
I brought mine.
Okay, good.
But you can chime in at any point.
All right.
So we met on August 16th. We talked about the article in the library. Officer Warner filled us in, let us know that there is some personnel shifting happening in the St. Cloud Police Department. So Officer Jennison is no longer with the force, and the downtown liaison officer has been reassigned to patrol. They anticipate that they will backfill one of those positions in the coming months, but at this point, Officer Warner is our only contact, or our main contact with the St. Cloud Police Department. We talked about a potential security guard, and staff had some questions, which Michelle Goebel, who is the Library Services Coordinator assigned to the committee, and Eric Blackcamp, Senior Circulation Assistant, were assigned to the committee, and I worked on that answer to that question. The dollars needed to support a position like that are not within our current budget, partly because the St. Cloud Police Department recommends that we would hire a off-duty police officer to fill that role, and that would be at an overtime police rate. So at this point in time, we're not pursuing that as the next step. That's not to say that we wouldn't look at that down the road if we were considering security personnel at some point in the future. We also talked about additional security audits. So one of the steps we had taken was surveying all of the coordinators who run libraries to see what some of their security concerns were. Not everybody had uniform responses to that. So one of our steps will be to create a security audit procedure that the Safety and Wellness Committee will manage. And in order to do that, we need some type of checklist to say, and these are the things that our best practices for security. So Patty, as part of the Safety and Wellness Committee, had actually pulled together some outside agencies that have lists like that, and Dave has volunteered to do some spot checks of our libraries using his insights as former law enforcement to develop an audit that could be applied to all of our libraries. We're also encouraging any staff who are concerned about working single coverage and closing, that they would actually reach out to their local law enforcement and develop a better relationship with that local law enforcement, letting them know that they're welcome to come and use the bathroom, that they're welcome to come and use that space for doing their reports and their breaks, that, you know, that if they have concerns about certain times of the day that they swing by. So that is something we are continuing to work with our staff to communicate. And I think that's...
We had discussion on rules. They went through the rules.
Oh, right. Rules of behavior for St. Cloud Library. We're revising them to a code of conduct, and we anticipate they will go to the St. Cloud Library Board in final form for their October meeting for final approval. So it's on track.
I think that's it. Good.
Anything else on that topic? If not, moving on to 10.4, Fund Development Committee.
I'll start some of the report, but Mary, if you could fill in. Okay. We've met twice since the board met. Our last meeting, we set a schedule for annual appeal. And Brianne, if I miss something, you can jump in here too. We'll be mailing the first mailing October 15th, second mailing November 15th, and then doing a thank you newsletter in our currents in mid-December to try to capture that last round, which is a little different order than what we used last year, but it seemed like a more appropriate direction. Brianne and her staff are also looking at creating tiers within our donor structure so that it's a more segmented ask, so that people who gave $25 aren't asked to give $10, that they might be asked to give $30. And if somebody's given $200, that they're not asked to give $25, that they're actually asked to give $220. So she's working with Julie Bushi in using our software to create those mailing lists to do a more segmented ask. Friends Meet Friends is scheduled for September 27th, which is next week. We'll be hosting that here again, and we're looking forward to doing a more networking type structure. We will not be having a speaker this year. We're going to give friends more opportunities to just connect with each other and share best practices from around the region. And then we already talked about changing the designations, so that was something that was discussed at committee as well.
Mary?
Also, this year, we're hoping that we will achieve 100% board participation in the annual campaign. I think I brought this up before, that we would encourage board members to participate. I have no idea what the actual percentage is. I know it's not 100, and it's changing. So I would ask each of you to consider carefully your participation level.
And that is one of the goals set out in our fundraising plan. Stu also echoed that as a priority area, that it's important for us, if we're going to be asking people for money, that we can show that our board supports that effort.
Not only that, but trying to encourage outside people to participate in our fund development committee. It's important to have influential people.
We'll be looking to recruit to that committee in the next year.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mary?
Nope. Thank you.
Any more discussion on that topic? If not, we'll go to unfinished business on the next page. Great River Board of Trustees bylaws. This is an action item. I'll need a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair, I so move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Jeff. Any more discussion?
We should talk about what we're voting on.
It's on page 53.
Yeah. 55. Got it. 55. Oh, yeah, the cover sheet's 53. I stand correct. So back in March, we reviewed the bylaws. We held them through their budget cycle so that we had time to talk about the budget. These are the two edits that we discussed at that meeting. One was changing the disqualifications and vacancies language so that there was a little more flexibility within it. And changing shall to may was one of those recommendations. And the second recommendation is to change 2 days to 3 days in advance of the meeting for notices for special meetings and work sessions. That's what we do for everything else, so we're not really sure why it said two.
Not sure either why it said
two. But it does, so okay. We need to change it.
So, Jim, does that answer your question?
Yep.
All right.
That's why I made a motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Nothing else? New business, Minnesota Library Association Legislator Update.
So we are in the process of developing the platform for the Minnesota Library Association. We'll be meeting in October to approve it as an association. One of the main planks will remain an increase to regional library basic system support and a formula change. I'll be meeting with a group of library directors on Friday to try to formulate what that dollar amount should really be, because one of the goals with the formula change is to hold all of the regions harmless. And as those dollars have shifted over the last couple of years, $2 and $3 million might not be the right number. It's not going to be much different from looking at it initially. One of the things that I would ask the commissioners in particular to consider is if we come up with a legislative ask for regional library basic system support, that you also consider adding that to your county platforms. Because it is really important for the legislature to know that library funding is a priority. We have a difficulty finding our way through the budget process, partly because library funding is E12 budgeting. And so when you're talking E12 at a state level, generally you're hearing a lot about pre-K and early kindergarten. And so we have a hard time raising above the fray, so to speak, with that discussion. It's really important that this happens so that we have a more predictable funding stream down the road. Other points in the platform will include an ask for arts and cultural heritage legacy amendment appropriation and continuation of regional library telecommunications aid, which is the dollars that we use to pay for our internet stations and network connectivity across the region.
Anything else on that, Karen?
That's all for now.
All right. Executive Director, annual evaluation form distribution.
That's Julie.
You said you put it on our table? Yeah?
I'll pass them out here. Okay, just to sort of refresh everybody on the process, I'll pass out the actual evaluation form for you to complete for Karen's performance review. This is for the period 10/1/2017 to 9/30/2018. I'd like to get the forms back to me by October 15th so that I can compile them. If you prefer to have an electronic version, just let me know. There's an email address on here, and I can send that out to you. So there's three categories for each of the competencies: needs improvement, meets expectations, or exceeds expectations. Those definitions are on the first page. Once I get all the feedback from the board members as well as from all of Karen's direct reports, I would put those together and give those to Randy, who will work with Wayne on the best way to then compile it and present it. And then at the November meeting, we'll have a closed session, and all board members will receive all of the feedback and an opportunity to review it before meeting with Karen and going over the performance. So I will pass these out. If you have questions, feel free to call me, or if you want the electronic form.
Thank you. So while she's passing them out, do we have anything else? How about unless we can continue with the board open forum? I'll start over here. Fran, do you have anything?
No, I do not, Mr. Chair.
All right. Like, are you running for anything or anyone?
I'm running away from
running
something.
From? Jeff?
But I can't run past that.
Pass.
All right. Lee? Dan?
Ellie's here too, so can we just go to
Mike?
The email ourselves?
We're in the middle of building courts.
Okay. I will just
go forward.
Okay.
Mary?
Thank you. I could make it too.
Oh, you said something about there's a celebration. Is it Thursday, you said? study?
Thursday.
What time?
Starts at 3:30, goes until 8 o'clock, and there will be food trucks.
I won't be able to make it to another meeting, but I thought it was earlier I could, so. Thank you. Nothing, I have nothing.
3:30 to 8.
Don't scare anybody in Halloween.
Lisa?
Our courts are open, as you all know, but this week we are moving 300 employees around the government center to their temporary offices while the rest of their offices are, the reconstruction is happening. So it's the biggest move this week of our whole big project, so. And people's attitudes are amazing. I walked through many departments today and I was so impressed with them.
Sherburne County never had problems like that when anybody else was chair.
Don't have anything.
Yeah?
I'm good.
All right, I don't have anything else. So we have all that, and again, what do you think about having our canceling our meeting for October?
I don't have any special topics. We won't have negotiations completed at that point, so.
Okay, so you guys okay with canceling the meeting on October 16th?
What would Lee do?
I'm going Howie.
Our next meeting will be November what?
20th.
November 20th. When's Thanksgiving? I hope it's before Thanksgiving.
It's before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so November 20th, we'll start with personnel at 5, or finance at 5, and then move forward. All right, if nothing else, we need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Got a motion, second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion adjourned, thank you.